Welcome to the Daily International OU Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Revi'i, the 16th day of the month of Tammuz. As tonight begins the 3 weeks, a reminder to shave and get a haircut tonight as nightfall will usher in Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Some exciting news. Next week, we will emir to Hashem. Please, God, celebrate our 100th call since we began way back in March. Even though the 3 weeks are beginning tonight, we have something positive to look forward to. And the truth is, each day is a blessing filled with incredible positive potential and opportunity. So despite the 3 weeks beginning, we have much to be positive, hopeful, and optimistic about. As always, thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors whose names are prominently listed in the OU Today email. If you would like to sponsor future calls, and we always appreciate your support, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. The deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to introduce Rabbi Josh Galler, Associate Rabbi of the Young Israel of West Hempstead in West Hempstead, New York, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Galler reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, the Mishnah Berach, Lecholim, and Achenu. We will conclude our call with a conversation between Rabbi Galler and myself, which will provide us a window into his wonderful community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, the Chavod, with great honor, Rabbi Galler.
Thank you so much, Naftali. It's such an honor to be here. Kodem Kol, just to thank Naftali for doing this call. It's really a beautiful concept and idea, and I look forward to hopefully hearing the 100th call, Amir Tashem, next week. Naftali is not just an incredible leader for Kol Yisrael through the OU, but also a very dear old friend from Camp Hask days. So really, it's a pleasure to be here. And second, to thank the OU. As a community rabbi, I have to tell you that the last few months have been trying for everyone. As a community leader, they have been certainly incredibly trying times, and the OU has done such a incredible, words can't describe, incredible job in really leading their communities to be able to have the tools necessary to guide the membership and really give chizuk and guidance and support to all of us. So on behalf of myself, maybe representing the West Hempstead community, certainly Young Israel of West Hempstead, thank you, Naftali, and thank you to the Orthodox Union for all of their vision and hard work in these last few months, and in general, all they do for our communities and for Kol Yisrael. We are hours away from one of the most auspicious times on the Jewish calendar, on the cusp of ushering in Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, which begins the 3 weeks. One of my favorite adages, and Rabbi Kelemer Shlita from our shul, the senior rabbi in our shul, often says this, as he's from Hasidic background, the Baal Shem Tov and others. He says, the Baal Shem Tov used to say that a person lives where their dreams are, where their aspirations are. And that is so true in so many ways. I want to apply that for us today in a couple of minutes to not just our dreams, but also our thoughts. We live where our minds are, where our thoughts are. And tell you a story about one of the great scholars of the Talmud, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi of the 3rd century, who in a story in the Talmud really personified this idea of living where his dreams and his thoughts were. I'll read and translate very quickly. The Gemara in Ksuvos, Daf Ayin Zayin, the Talmud tells us an incredible story. Ki have shchiv, the Gemara often tells us of stories of Tanoim Amurayim, that they were about to pass away, what happened, their conversation with El Yohan Navi or the Malach HaMavis. Here in this case, he's speaking to Rishua ben Levi to the Malach HaMavis. He's about to pass away. Amri l'malach hamaves, zil avid le'reusa. Hashem tells him, look, go do what he asks you to do. Do him a favor. He's a great scholar, a big tzaddik, a righteous person. Do what he wants you to do. So Azal, he did. What do you need from me? Yeshua ben Levi tells him, achfi li duchtai. go show me my share in Gan Eden, in the world to come. I want to see what my share is going to look like. Okay? So he takes him there. But before we go, Havli Sakinach, he says to the Malach HaMavet, the angel of death, he says to him, give me your knife. You shouldn't harm anybody else or scare me on the way in. Kimata Lahasam, the Gemara says, when the Malach HaMavet, the angel of death, brought Yeshua ben Levi towards the end of his life, towards Gan Eden, showed him his place in heaven. What happens? The Gemara says, Shavar Nafalahu Giza. He leapt, he jumped, and landed there in Gan Eden. And there he stayed. That's where he stayed. The Gemara, the Talmud, basically is telling us that Yeshua ben Levi, this great righteous sage, asked an innocent request of the angel of death. He was granted that request to see his spot in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden. When he got there, the Talmud seems to say he leapt. He jumped in and didn't come back. So the question is obvious. How are we to understand this perplexing story in the Talmud? And what's the message for us? And so I was reading the other day an incredible sefer from a rabbi in the Satmar community in Williamsburg, who is actually a friend of mine. I visit him a few times a year, where he cites the great Chassam Sofer, Reb Moshe Sofer of Pressburg, who explained this passage in the Talmud in such a profound way. We are not to believe, the Chassam Sofer says, that the great Yeshua ben Levi, no matter how great he was, truly jumped ahead of his time into Gan Eden. That's not what happened here. What happened here is, when he saw his chelek, his portion, in the world to come, when he saw his spot, his seat, his grand seat, in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden, he was so enamored with it. He was so focused on it, with laser vision. He was thinking how grand it's going to be to spend the rest of my eternity surrounded with the angels and basking in God's presence. He was so in love with that idea and focused on that idea that his thoughts carried his neshama, his soul, into Gan Eden. Well, once his soul went there and his thoughts went there, naturally his body followed. The Chassam Sofer says that Yeshua ben Levi wasn't jumping into Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden. He was pulled in because his thoughts and his wants and his desires became so at one with the longing to be part of that world, basking in God's glory, that once his thoughts and his heart was there, his body naturally followed. It's an incredible thought from the Chassam Sofer, but what's the message to us? No doubt we all realize these past few months we have been challenged with our physical reality. Many of us were stuck, myself included, for months, davening and learning and teaching from the home. But again, we are where our thoughts are, where our aspirations are. And so while I might be found in my house, my thoughts are in my base medrash, or in my shul, in my base kinesis. My thoughts are with my friends and family to be surrounded by them. And that reality I can create through my machshavos, through my thoughts. We may find ourselves, my dear friends, right now, as we approach the 3 weeks, in exile, in Golus, outside our homeland of Eretz Yisrael, which we so long to be part of and to live there and to be with the people there. But this is an incredible opportunity to intensely focus our thoughts and get ourselves, no matter where we are, where we live, to Eretz Yisrael. But Elal is not flying right now. How do we get there? The answer is, the Chassam Sofer tells us, from Yeshua ben Levi, our machshavos, our thoughts. The more we hone our thoughts to empathize with the people of Eretz Yisrael, to empathize with the soldiers, the chayilim and chayalot, the men and women who defend our country. The more we empathize and identify with the people who live there, the more we can feel like we are actually part of that land and be able to experience all the experiences along with them who live there in the Holy Land of Israel. I'd like to end with the thought that it's my hope, and I think our hope as well, that our commitment, our deep, passionate commitment to constantly having Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, on our minds, and thinking about its citizens, having them in our hearts, our soldiers, our dear soldiers, will merit us the blessing of being brought back fully to our homeland in peace and prosperity. We live where our thoughts are. If we can spend these 3 weeks thinking about, delving into the history of, the thoughts behind Eretz Yisrael and what it means to be a Jew living in our land of Israel, we'll be zocheh, we'll merit, hope and pray, we'll merit, to be able to bring our bodies there, God willing, as well. I'll end with the famous phrase that we say at the end of our Amidah, our Shmona Esrei, Yihyu l'razon imrefi, ve'gyon libi lifanecha, Hashem suri v'goali. Our utterances of our mouth, our words of tefillah, of prayer, should be accepted before God, but not just our words, ve'hegyon libi, our thoughts as well. We live where our thoughts are. And if our thoughts are going to be these next 3 weeks with the people and the land of Israel, then in Yirtzeh Hashem, God will grant us the opportunity to also have our guf, our physical bodies there as well, b'mehera v'yameinu, speedily in our days. We're going to recite 3 kapitlech of Tehillim, followed by the Mishnah Berach, followed by Achinu. We're going to begin with Parakhas, chapter 20, Lamanatzeach. Lamnatzeach mizmor l'David, yanecha Adonai b'yom tzara, yisagevcha Hashem Elohei Yaakov, yishlach ezecha mikodesh, umitzion yisadeka, yizkorcho menchosecha, volascha yidash nesela, yitein lecha kilvavecha, Parakhaf Zion, chapter 27. L'David Arnai Oriv Yeshi Mimi Ira Arnai Ma'oz Chayai Mimi Efchad Bekrov Alai Mirayim Lechol Espisari Sarai Vaivaili Hema Kashlu V'nafalu Im Tachana Alai Machana Lo yira libi, im takum alai milchama, b'zos ani voteyach. Ach ashrati meis Adonai osa avakesh. Shifti beveis Adonai kol yimei chayai. Lach azos b'nom Adonai levaker b'heichalo. Kitz b'neinu b'suka b'yom ra'a. Yasirini b'sisir halo. Adonai, V'chomar libi b'shufanai espanecha adonai avakesh. Al tachter panecha mimeni al tachter afazecha ezrasi hayisi al tishveni v'al tazveni elohe yishi ki avivi mi azavuni v'adonai yasveni. Hareini Arnai Darkecha, Vonechini Beorech Pishor Leman Shorirai. Al Tidneini B'nefesh Tarai, Ki Kamu V'edi Sheker V'fei HaKamas. Lulei Hamanti, Oliros B'tu Arnai Be'eretz Chaim. Kaveh el Adonai, chazak v'yameit libecha, v'kaveh el Adonai. Perek Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir ha-malos, imam makim, karsicha Adonai. Adonai, Shema Vekoli, Tiena Tachas Hashuvos, Lekol Tach Adonai, Im Avonos, Tishmoria, Adonai, Mi Yamod, Ki Imcha Aslicha, Leman Tivarei, Ki Visi Adonai, Ki Visa Nafshi, V'lidvarav ho'chalti, nafshi l'Adonai, mishomerim l'boker, shomerim l'boker, echel Yisrael el Adonai, ki yim anay ha'chesed, v'arveim ha'ofidus, v'hu yivdes Yisrael, mikol avonosav. We'll now recite the Mishaberach, the prayer for those who are ill. When I pause, please insert the name of the man or woman who is sick and needed our prayers.
Mishaberach Avoseinu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Moshe Aaron David Shlomo Hu Yivarech V'Yirafi Yisacholim. Bavur Shanachnu Mespalim Bavuram Biskarze Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yimalei Rachamim Aleihem Vahachalimam L'Rabosam Hachazitam L'Hachayosam V'yishlach Lohem Hirafua Shlima Min Hashamayim L'marach Evereihem L'shusak Yideihem B'soch Shach Kolei Yisrael Rafua Sanevesh Rafua Saguf Ashto Bagalov is Mankariv, Venomaramein. Achenu, Kobis Yisrael, Hanusin Masara Bashivya, Houndin, Bain Bayam, Rain Bayabasha, Hamakom Yachim Alehem, Yotzim Misal Ravaka, Mefil Lora, Mishibu Ligula, Ashto Bagalov is Mankariv.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Galler. As you referenced at the beginning of the call, we met many summers ago at Camp Hask. Truly an incredible place, Mamish Heaven on Earth, which is very dear to us and really to so many. Thinking back, I believe we've known each other, I think, for 20 years now. I think it was the summer of 2000 we met. And we were both working as counselors. Does that sound right? I think 2000. It was.
I was about 5 years old. Red letter. I was 5 years old. Yes.
Very good. All right. So as we transition, let's start with our first question. How are you, your family, and the wonderful community doing?
Thank God. I always respond the same way. Thank God we are well physically. I can't, you know, I always wonder whether we're doing well psychologically and mentally, but Baruch Hashem, physically we are well, and I've been weathering the storm the best we can. That's my best answer I can give you.
I won't take it. It's a good one. For a long time, West Hempstead has been a well-established community, although the past decade, it has seen incredible growth and expansion. Over the years, I've had the great fortune to visit the community on many occasions, especially when I was growing up, as we had family living there at the time. But for some of our listeners who may not be as familiar with your wonderful community, could you please provide us with a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
Sure. The community is actually many years old, decades old. It started with Hank, with the community school. And the shul was really Young Israel at West Hempstead, which was the first shul, which was really an outgrowth of the school. The community has always maintained, I think, you said very well, Naftali, it has explosive growth in the past 5 to 10 years. I credit that to the Rabbanim and the leadership, because the taste of this community, and I'm going to go out on a limb because I know some of the listeners are actually from out-of-town communities, but it's known more to have in-town amenities but out-of-town personality. You know, very warm, very laid-back, low-key, and I think that attracts a lot of people, that time, that warmth and that personal touch, even in what's now well over 1,000 families in this Orthodox community, certainly. It attracts people because of that unique blend of having all the amenities of a large community, but also having the warmth and personal touch and low-key, laid-back approach of a more, I would say, characteristic of an out-of-town community.
Wow. Well, as an out-of-towner, you know, I think many of us view New York as being the one that's out-of-town from us, but that's just the out-of-towner.
You're in the Gan Eden of America, right?
Right. less so during the summers. Rabbi Galler, how would you say your community has grown from the ongoing pandemic? What's something that's changed or something you believe needs to change?
I'll tell two or three thoughts. Thought number one is that in a community this size, despite what I mentioned a moment ago, which is the unique flavor of the community, we definitely take a lot for granted in terms of connectivity. You know, now you can live on one side of town, the other side of town, and not see each other. This definitely brought all of the shuls, the rabbanim, the membership of all the shuls together in really creating a mutually beneficial, whether it's WhatsApps, whether it's certain groups online, helping each other out, whether it's tzedakah, charity, whether it's just doing favors for those who can't leave the house, they're elderly. It really brought out a beautiful side of chesed that was always here, but I would say more latent, and it really made it a very important part of our community. And I think all our hope is that it remains when COVID and Mirat Hashem Bikarov B'Yameinu is over, because I think that really it brought out really great qualities in our community in terms of helping each other and feeling connectivity with those you don't necessarily know that well.
Right. Well, certainly let's hope that feeling and that momentum carries over into the post-corona world, and as you said, the Karovich is hopefully be really soon. Last question for you. Different communities are at different points of their partial opening. Where is your shul currently at the moment, and do you anticipate anything changing in the near future?
It's funny you ask that, because I usually give a summer series in a local ice cream store for women. I gave it in the shul today because the store obviously can't accommodate with distancing. We are at a point where we have distancing in the shul. The shul is open to a limited capacity with the 6-foot spacing and masks and whatnot. There are several minyanim on Shabbos and during the week. There is some opportunities still for learning in the shul, but we're still tied to Zoom very much, and most programming takes place online still. We are headed in the right direction, but I think we are creeping in the right direction, not running. So we currently definitely have a hybrid, but I would say we're still seeing most people in our shul and community are preferring to daven outside. They're being much more cautious, which actually has, thank God, been a big bracha, a blessing for our community, because b'li ayin hara, we've had a low incidence of people getting sick because people really take this very seriously, and they're keeping a lot of the restrictions that have been recommended by our physicians and leaders.
Well, that's great here, and we hope in UNICEF that it continues. The numbers should be very low, all the way down to zero. So, Galler, thank you so much for being on the call today. It's great to reconnect and for providing us with a brief picture and insight into your wonderful community. As they are with all of Claudius around the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your great community for continued bracha and success and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered l'tova. May the Rabbonei Sholem, the master of the world, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Thursday, Shabbat Asar B'Tammuz, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, for words of inspiration from Rabbi Daniel Grama of the West Side Shul in Los Angeles, California. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful